जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol.
Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Privakacharya Ashto Darsat Sri Srimad A.C. Bhakti Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Privakacharya Ashto Darsat Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Rupa Shishnatan Bhat Raghunath Si Jeeva Gopal Bhat Dasa Raghunath Sad Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai. प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि घोर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोगोपीनाथ श्याम कुंडल कुन गिरि गोदान की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय श्री नवदीप मायपुर धाम की जय जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गंगमय जमुनामय की जय श्रीमती तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय सामवेत भक्त वृंद की जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर ललिता विशाखा की जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे All glories assembly devotees. All glories assembly devotees. All glories assembly devotees. All glories, Siguru, Siguranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What is the verse?
It's 10:24:15.
10:24:15. Okay. So this morning's Bhagavatam class is on 10th canto, chapter 24, text 15, entitled "Worshipping the Govardhan Hill." Kim. Indrena Iha Bhutanam Swaswa Karma Anuvarti Anuvarti Nam Anisena Anyatha Kartum Swabhava Vihitam Nirnam Kim Indraya Bhutanam Swaswa Karma Anuvartinam Anisena Yatha Kartum Swabhama Vihitam Nirnam Kim Indrana Indraina Bhutanam Swaswa Karma Anuvartinam Anisayatha Kartum Swabhava Vihitam Nirnam. Anyone?
Kim
Indrena Bhutanam Swakarma
Nartanam
Nise Nanya Kartum
Swabhava Vihitam Nirnam.
Bhutanam Swasakarma Nartanam Anisena Yatha Kartum Swabhava Hitam. Ladies, came what Indrena with Indra Iha here Bhutanam for living entities Swaswa each their own karma or fruitive actions Anuvartitam who are experiencing the consequences Anisena, Indra, who is incapable, Anyatha, otherwise, Kartum, to make, Swabhav, by their conditional nature, Vihitam, that which is ordained, Nirnam, for man. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Living beings in this world are forced to experience the consequences of their own particular previous work. Since Lord Indra cannot in any way change the destiny of human beings, which are born of their own nature, why should people worship him? Purport. Lord Krishna's argument here is not a negotiation of free will. If one accepts the existence of karma as a system of laws awarding reactions for our present activities, then we ourselves, according to our nature, will decide our future, our happiness and happiness and distress in this life have already been adjudicated and fixed according to our previous activities. And not even the demigods can change that. They must award us the prosperity or poverty, sickness or health, happiness or distress due to us by the previous work. However, we still retain the freedom to select a pious or impious mode of activities in this life. The choice we make will determine our future suffering and enjoyment. For example, if I was a pious in my last life, in this life the demigods may award me great material wealth, but I am free to spend my riches for good or for bad purposes, and my choices will determine my future. Thus, although no one can change the karmic results due to his life, everyone still retains his free will, by which he determines what his future situation will be. Lord Krishna's argument here is quite interesting. However, if it neglects the overriding consideration that we are all eternal servants of God and must satisfy Him by all that we do. Om Ajnana Trivandandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshusunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyasya Kripasindubhyecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So it is very interesting, this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, it's entitled Worshipping the Govardhan Hill. And as we all know, who have read Srimad Bhagavatam or the Krishna book, Hare Krishna. So we all know that in Krishna book there is a description given about how Nanda Maharaj was preparing to worship the Govardhan, worshipping Indra. And this was going on for many generations. But when Krishna saw that why is his father and all the village head making such an endeavor to worship Indra, so he asked his father, what is the purpose, dear father? And his father saying, well, Indra provides rain, and then the rain will feed and nourish all the grains, and all the grains then we feed to the cows and ourselves. So therefore we have to thank Indra for this, and therefore we are making this Indra Yajna, offering to Indradev. And Krishna is saying then, well, if that is the case, then why are we for suffering happiness and distress due to our karma or our previous activities? So if what is already going to be there as our due deserve as individuals and sometimes collectively, it's going to happen. So in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that this is already predestined, is pre-adjudicated by the laws of nature, by the Lord Himself through His different managerial establishment. In this case, all the different karmas which we have done, good or bad, the reactions for that is going to come to us, whether we like it or we don't like it. So what is the point of worshipping Indra? Because the rains are going to come, whether we worship Indra or we do not worship Indra. Because it is destined to us. And if it's destined that that particular year, there is going to be a drought, then no matter how much Indra worship you do, there is going to be a drought, because that is the collective karma of all the residents of that particular location who are deserving no water or no rain. So it's not going to change. So Prabhupada is saying here that if these things are not going to change, then what is the point? But finally Prabhupada is giving us the real understanding of this verse, saying that we should not forget that we are eternally servants of Krishna. As Krishna is saying, as Prabhupada explains, Jivere Swarupa Hoy, Nityar Krishna Das. Eternally we are servants of Krishna. And as servant of Krishna, what is our duty? To serve Krishna and no one else. So why serve anybody else when the order is there that we are servants of Krishna and therefore we have to serve Krishna? Of course, unless and until you don't come to the realization that you are a servant of Krishna, then you may be under illusion of this material world and the offerings of the material world, and therefore you will be kept under illusion thinking that you are the controller. Aham Ishwara, I am little Ishwara of my little domain. And we try to control everything within our reaches. Sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail. But either way, it is not going to bring you happiness. Because we have seen in this material world since the very beginning of time, there is no living entity who is happily situated. Even if they have riches and beauty and fame, still they are not happy. We see all around us, there are people who are endowed with great beauty. There are people who are endowed with great wealth. There are people who are endowed with great fame. Are they happy? They are not happy. So of course an intelligent person would understand that by having wealth, beauty, fame, it's not going to bring me happiness. And why should I endeavor for that? But we still endeavor for it. Nobody stops and says, no, I have enough. The richest person in the world today is thinking how I can invest my wealth and increase my wealth many folds. And he keeps doing that. He doesn't think and sits back and says, well, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, I have enough wealth now. It is not just enough for now, but for next 5-10 generations. All the future generations will come after me. They don't need to work. They can spend all the wealth at their disposal. But do they think like that? No, they don't. They're worried. I want to increase. And we as devotees sometimes get into this trap also. And we want to increase. But increase for what? The only time when we want to increase something is for the pleasure of Krishna. Then you are permissible. Otherwise, you're not. So here, it's very clearly said that whatever past activities we have done, the results are already there. It is simply time how it will manifest, when it will manifest. So what is your dues, what is my dues, it will come. Not a second early, not a second late, it will come. But Krishna consciousness is so beautiful that Krishna consciousness actually teaches us how to face all these consequences without being disturbed. Now, ideally speaking, we are following the process of Krishna Bhakti. And by following the process of Bhakti, we should be free from all anxiety. We should be free from all fear. But how many of us can put our hand on our heart and say, I am free of anxiety and I am free of fear? None of us. But we all know Krishna is our supreme protector. And if Krishna is our protector, then who can harm us? No one. But still, we go every day with our regulator chanting 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Keep chanting. But, back of the mind, what if Krishna doesn't protect me? Of course, you have to have faith. Krishna protects you. That complete faith in Krishna should be there. If the faith is not there, then your bhakti is very weak. Now, we can take example of a young 5-year-old boy, Prahlad Maharaj. When Prahlad Maharaj was given so much trouble by his father for worshipping the Supreme and not acknowledging the supremacy of his father, then he was put through all different kinds of troubles. But did Prahlad get disturbed? Did Prahlad protest? Now us, sometimes we are in the ashram, living in the temple, or sometimes we are a congregational devotees, but we still come under the ashram or a temple which is affiliated with us, and the temple management comes and tells you sometimes certain things. You may not like it, and you will protest. No, Prabhu, I will not do this. I cannot do it. Prahlad, he did not protest anything. He was not asked to do anything. Only so much trouble was put upon him. And what was that trouble? To somehow or other kill him. And Prahlad, knowing that all these atrocities are there for only one purpose, to kill me. But he had full faith in Krishna. And therefore he did not protest. When he was taken on the highest mountain and he was going to be pushed over, Prahlad said, "Okay, my dear friends, you are doing your duty. You are following the order of my father. So therefore I will not hold it against you. You are duty bound. Otherwise you will get into trouble if you don't follow the instructions of my father. So go ahead and do your duty." And they were going to push him over the cliff. And what did Prahlad say? No protest. Yes, happily go. And with folded hands he's praying to the Lord. And of course the Lord comes to his assistance and protects him. Now sometimes I see, our devotees also, when they're embarking on some journey, they sit in the car or they sit in the plane and Namaste Narasingaya Praladaladadai, and start chanting Narasingha prayers for protection. And after the prayers are finished, you forget Narasingha Dev. And think, now Narasingha Dev is going to kind of protect you because you have just said the prayers. Well, Narasingha Dev is not very cheap. You cannot get him just by a simple prayer. You have to have full surrender. That is why Krishna says in the 18th chapter, conclusion is there, Sarva Dharmam Parijita, give up everything. Take my shelter. Aham tam sarva papavyo. So this is the most important point that Prabhupada is saying, that if we forget that we are servants of Krishna, then there is no question of surrendering to Krishna. And if we are not surrendered to Krishna, then there is no question of aham tam sarva papavyo. We are freed from all karmic reactions. Because when you are fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord, then the Supreme Lord, he takes full charge of you. He is in full control of you. And every action you perform will be done directly under his direction. And of course, Krishna is not going to make you do things which is going to be detrimental to you or harmful to you or harmful to the society. He's going to make you do things which is going to be very beneficial to you as individual and beneficial to the society at large. So this is the importance of understanding that if you want to be free from this suffering, which is already predestined to us, then there's only one way, and that is to take full shelter of the Supreme Lord. And when we take full shelter of the Supreme Lord, then there is no anxiety. Now, we hear this over and over from many, many exalted speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam. We hear many lectures, many classes. And nowadays, of course, we are going to this new mode of Shastra study, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhuma, all these degrees, and study. And you hear the teachers explain to you the scriptures, and ultimate conclusion is surrender. And after getting a degree in Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhava and all these different degrees, you get a certification, then say, how surrendered are you? Well, I will surrender one day, not today. But I'm working on it. So we are all struggling to surrender. And why we are struggling to surrender is because we do not understand the Supreme Lord and His mercy. As Prabhupada has explained to us over and over and over in all his wonderful purpose, that Krishna has specifically come to give us His mercy and give us His shelter. He is freely giving us His shelter. How many of us are very eagerly taking His shelter? Those of us who are Sankirtan devotees, we go out there and we preach, convince someone that please take this book, it will change your life. But they are not happy to take it. And then someone shows a little interest in Krishna consciousness and says, wow, this is cool. He is receptive. Let me give him the conclusion of the philosophical understanding of Shastra. So you start working on that individual. And you explain to him the beauty of surrender to Krishna. And when you surrender to Krishna, then everything becomes very pleasant. which we can read in the Shastra again, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's full of wonderful devotees who are fully surrendered to Krishna and they are blissfully enjoying themselves. But when we are preaching to this individual, he is somewhat convinced. So yes, I think what you are saying is correct. So intellectually he is thinking, this is the right thing to do. This human birth is for this purpose. So he says, I want a mala. So you take him, get him a japa mala, and you introduce him to the chanting, and he's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and he's on his way. Then the person who's preaching to him, who's convinced him to take to Krishna consciousness, you say, okay, now we're going to do a little introspection about you. How much are you convinced about this? Unless until you are fully convinced, you cannot convince the other. That is the way of how the nature works. Unless you are fully convinced about anything, you cannot convince someone else. So we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read the Bhagavad Gita, we hear the lectures, we associate with devotees, and over and over and over we are hearing these things. But it's very pleasant to hear these things. But to put into practice is very difficult. So unless and until we want to be free from this, then this is our position. So here Krishna, of course, verses are explaining that he is making many arguments to his father that this Indra Puja is of no value. Whether you perform this or you do not perform, the rains will come. And we see every year, depending on which country you are in, there are different seasonal changes, and these changes will come. Like for example, here in Vrindavan, Kartik is a very pleasant time of the year. But as soon as Kartik is finished, and we go into November, and the cold spell starts to come, and you start performing Surya Yagya and Indra Yagya and this Yagya and that Yagya to keep the winter away, will it stay away? It won't. It will come. Nothing can stop. That is part and parcel of this material nature. So the cold will come. And similarly, as the cold period is over, come February, the sun comes into the northern hemisphere, and the northern hemisphere begins to warm up, and then the beautiful plants begin to blossom again, the full greenery, and then the spring is there, and it's blossoming, and then after spring is very pleasant, but then the summer comes, 45, 50 degree temperature, and it is very uncomfortable. And then again, after the summer is gone, the rains come, and then winter come. So this will come and go without fail. It won't stop. So Krishna is arguing with Nanda Maharaj that whether you do this, you don't do it. Then Nanda Maharaj is kind of giving in to Krishna. Why? Not because he's convinced of Krishna's argument, but his love for Krishna. He's saying, how can I disappoint my darling son? And of course, Krishna is all attractive. So he's completely taken over Nanda Maharaj's heart. So Nanda Maharaj, in order to please Krishna, he said, okay, what do you want me to do now? Let's follow what you want me to do. So he said, make this beautiful, huge offering to Govardhan. Because at the end of the day, it is Govardhan who is giving us all the fruits, all the grains, all the vegetables, and the rain which comes from the cloud which cools down on the top of the hill and comes down as rain and cascades down as rivers, and we're getting water and everything is supplied by Govardhan. Of course, because when we go to the Govardhan today, we see a very, the maximum height I think is 50 feet at the highest point of Govardhan. But that is only the tip of Govardhan, because Govardhan was cursed that every day it will go down by a mustard seed. So it's going down and down. But I read a description of Govardhan Hill in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was saying something like 60 miles long and some 30 miles high. It's a huge mountain. Even Himalaya is not that high. You know, Himalaya is more, maybe 20,000, 30,000 feet. I don't know, some of you might know. But 30 miles high, that is a huge hill. So anyway, Nanda Maharaj is kind of giving in to his son because he loves him. And then he says, yes, offer to Govardhan. So he's making this elaborate arrangement to offer Govardhan. And then back in the back of his mind, he's thinking, after I have satisfied my son, I'll do a quick Indra Puja so that Indra doesn't get angered by this. So when the offering is all made, everything is nicely arranged, and then what happens? Krishna himself takes the form of the Govardhan, and he devours all the offering, and he eats everything that is offered. Then Krishna turns to his father, Nanda Maharaj. See, dear father, all this is you offering such huge, huge offerings to Indradev. Has he even taken a little morsel of it? But he offered it to Govardhan, and Govardhan devoured everything. That means Govardhan is our real shelter. He is the real provider. So of course, you know, Govardhan, as we understand, is no different from Krishna. And therefore, you know, we have Govardhan Shilas, we worship him as good as Krishna. And some different have a different mood. They worship Govardhan as a servant of Krishna, which is nothing wrong, because that is a different perception of saying Govardhan. Because at the end of the day, Govardhan is also servant of Krishna. He's serving Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj was quite happy to see this. And then when he saw the Govardhan, you know, enjoying all the bounty of offering made to Govardhan, now he's convinced. But meanwhile, Indra is kind of thinking, hey, that is my offering. How dare this insolent little boy take my offering away from me? So he said, I'm going to teach them a lesson. So, of course, in the Krishna book, we understand that Indra was very much upset, and then he said, okay, to his thunder clouds, go and rain. For many days it's raining and it's flooding out the Braj. All the Braj Basis then take shelter of Krishna and say, what to do now? He says, why are you worried? I'm here. He lifts the Govardhan and gives the shelter. And now Indra is thinking, what is going on? Of course, finally Indra realizes, then he comes and makes beautiful prayers to Krishna. But the point is that we understand from this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping Govardhan is a very, very important aspect, that when we take shelter of Sri Govardhan, it provides all our necessities without fail. Even now, you know, many centuries later, when you go for Govardhan Parikrama, you will see those who are very devout and have faith in Govardhan, that he will provide. Then they make vows that I will make a Dandabad Parikrama of Govardhan one time. Sometimes we'll do 108 each spot. Others will just keep walking around the Govardhan. So there are many, many different ways of taking shelter of Govardhan. And then, of course, Govardhan will give you shelter. But he will give you shelter in a way which he wants to give, not with what you expect. So that's why we have to worship Krishna with the mood that I am worshipping you, dear Lord, for your pleasure, just to make you happy. So please give me intelligence that what I should do that will make you happy. So in this case here, Nanda Maharaj is offering to Govardhan, and that is pleasing to Krishna. So similarly, we should think and pray in our minds, in our hearts, what I should do that will make Krishna happy, but not expect anything in return. Because when you try to do something in a way that you say, okay, if I do this, that, and other to please Krishna, then I will get this kind of results and this kind of returns, then this is a business deal. Now, we all know Krishna is not a businessman. You cannot go to Krishna and make a business with him. Because you try to do business with Krishna, what does Krishna say? I have no interest in you. He will reject you. So therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, karmani eva adhikarastu. Simply do your duty. Ma phaleshu karachan. He said, don't worry about the result. That I will see what you deserve. And what you deserve, I will give you. And Krishna, he knows you inside out. As individually, he knows what is your capacity, how much you can handle, how much you can digest without becoming arrogant. Because sometimes, you know, we are blessed with some bounty beyond our capacity, and what happens? We become very arrogant. See, I've got everything. And we become so proud. But pride is also not a good thing, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us the secret to approach the Lord, and what is the secret? We approach with humility, with tolerance, free from ego, and offer all respect to others. So this is humility, which is the key to Krishna's heart. So when we pray to Krishna, Krishna will give us that which we need. So many times I say that we have a mindset and we go to Krishna and saying, I want, I want, I want, I want. And then very quickly the I want need, turns into I need, I need, I need. So you're trying to convince Krishna, I want this, I want this, I want this. Why? Because I need this, I need this, I need this. And Krishna is saying, well, from where I'm standing, I don't think you need these things. But we want. So if you get something you are not capable of handling, what will happen? You're going to have a hard time. It's just like a young boy, you know, he's growing up, and then his father gets him a motor car, and he's in a new driver, and the motor car is not just an average car, it's one of the high-spec cars, and he sits in the car and says, wow, I got a license to drive. And he goes down the highway, you know, speeding like a madman, and it's not properly trained in high speed. What happens? Ends up in an accident. In accident, he will probably kill himself or injure himself. And not only that, but he will take a few others down with him. So that's not a good thing to give him. But if you deserve, then if you have the capacity, Krishna will give you. So therefore, our business is to pray to Krishna, that, dear Lord, please put me in a situation where I can fully surrender to you and serve you the way you want me to serve you. And also, we have to understand that we cannot go to Krishna saying, I want to serve you, Krishna, like this. You may go like that, and Krishna says, okay, since you have come with that mood, I will kind of accept your service, but you won't get that prema, you won't get that loving exchange and deep relationship with Krishna. So therefore, Krishna doesn't want you to serve him from your own speculative way. You have to pray to him. As Krishna says, if you worship him, then he will give you the intelligence by which you can approach him and serve him. So in this relation, I can share one realization of mine. That many years ago when I was in New Brindavan, every morning during Mangal Aarti, the head pujari would come and tap you on the shoulder and said, today you are addressing Krishna. Today you are addressing Radharani. Today you are addressing Gonitai. Today you are addressing Narsingadev. So he would tell you which personality you are going to serve today. You can't choose yourself. It's the head pujari who comes and tells you. And then once he tells you which personality you are going to serve today, then he also tells you in what color costumes they're going to wear. So, of course, Radha Vrindavan Chandra is very, very opulent lord and has got many, many, many wonderful dresses of all colors and shades and everything. So this one morning when I was in Mangal Aarti, he tapped on my shoulder and said, Krishna today. So I said, okay. And he said, color red. So I was like, so jubilant and feeling, wow, I have one very favorite costume of mine which I'm going to dress Krishna today, and Krishna is going to look very majestic. So there I'm so elated, and as soon as the samsara prayers are finished, we kind of make our way into the pujari room, select the costumes, get ready, and as soon as the mangal aarti is finished, curtains close, we're straight onto the altar and begin the ceremony of worshipping the Lord. So there I am, and I told my counterpart, Varshana Maharaj, I've chosen the costumes, red color. So Varshana said, okay, fine. So he started dressing Radharani, and I'm dressing Krishna. For 25 minutes, I'm struggling. The costume is not fitting properly, it doesn't look proper. And I'm saying, what is going on here? It's the same Radha Vrindavan Chandra. He hasn't put on weight. No, he hasn't changed. And this costume, I have put on Krishna many times in the past. It's come out perfect. So what is going on here? And I was in anxiety because in New Brindavan we have a very, very strict system that deity greeting time, whether you are ready or not, curtains will open. And sometimes you are still finishing off the last peacock feather and the devotees outside jubilantly singing Govindam prayers and you're, oops, to run off the altar. So I was in anxiety and I was saying, oh, 25 minutes of my time is gone. What am I going to do? And meanwhile, Varshana Maharaj had already finished Radharani dressing. So I said, Maharaj, you've got to change this costume. It's not working. He said, what? But he was just a humble person, you know. He said, okay. So he undressed Radharani. He took it all out and randomly just picked a red costume, came in. And within 20 minutes, we dress Radha and Krishna, and they look so immaculate. It was beyond this world, for me at least, that was my experience. And I was thinking, wow. And after, during deity greeting, I'm there in the front with the devotees, with Kirtan, and I'm feeling a little proud that Krishna is looking very majestic. But then it hit me. I said, I was thinking, I am dressing Krishna. Such illusion. It was Krishna who is allowing me to dress him. But when Krishna is allowing me to dress him, actually Krishna is dressing himself. He's just using me as an instrument. He's using my hands to move around. But actually Krishna is dressing himself. Because Krishna wants to dress himself the way he wants to dress, not the way I want to dress him. No, he's a person. He's not some statue. He's there, you know, and he decides what he wants. Not you or I decide what he wants. So therefore, I had very, very deep realization that day that Krishna gets what he wants, not what we give him. Although sometimes, you know, we go with many offerings and think, I'll offer this to Krishna, I'll offer this. It's okay, you're offering fine. But you got to offer me what I want. And even in our own reciprocation with our individual persons, you know, we have good friendship. And when we are happy with our friendship, and you know, in that time you want to offer something to your friend, you may get something and offer to the friend. And out of friendship, say, yeah, thank you, Prabhu. It's very nice of you. But if you give him something he wants, wow, I was so hoping I would get that. And his reaction and his emotion would be so different. So this is how Krishna reciprocates with us. When we give Krishna what he wants, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. And the more we reciprocate with him the way he wants, then we will feel very much, you know, the ecstasy of being with Krishna. You know, because we hear this all the time. That when you serve Krishna, you'll become very much, you know, transcendentally happy and ecstatic. But then all, you know, we see all our lives, you know, going through many years of serving Krishna, but we are not feeling that ecstasy, we are not feeling that that happiness. So what is happening? Something is eluding here, because our approach is different. So therefore, in my humble realization is that we have to approach Krishna the way Krishna wants us to approach him. And who best knows how to approach Krishna? It's Krishna himself. So if we are fully surrendered to Krishna, and when Krishna takes full charge of us, then he will then allow us to serve him and reciprocate with that service. And when he accepts our service, then we feel much more connected with Krishna. And when you feel much more connected with Krishna, then that happiness comes. Because happiness in this material world is only there when you're connected with Krishna, who's the supreme happiness. Anything minus Krishna, you can have the whole planet, you can have the Dhruva Loka if you like, still you won't be happy, because it is minus Krishna. So anything plus Krishna makes wonderful. So we have to learn from these prayers of, actually this argument from Krishna to Nanda Maharaj, that worshipping the Lord is the highest. And of course here Krishna is telling to Nanda Maharaj, worship Govardhan. So we have to also pray to Krishna, and he will tell us, he's in our heart. He will tell us how he wants us to worship him. Not just offering incense and ghee lamb and flowers. There are many, many different ways of worshipping Krishna. There's unlimited ways of worshipping Krishna. So we have to see what Krishna wants us to do. And sometimes, because our intelligence is not very good, then we have to take the directions of the authorities under whom we are working. Because they may have a better insight, and they may engage you in Krishna's service. So sometimes, say, you know, the temple manager comes and says, Prabhu, the temple courtyard needs cleaning. Can you get the equipment out and start cleaning the temple courtyard? And he says, oh, Prabhu, I'm a Brahmin.
We have a lot of Brahmins here.
The world is full of Brahmins. But as Panchakora Prabhu is saying, we have a lot of Brahmins here, but how many Brahmins are knocking at the head pujari's door and saying, Prabhu, please engage me in service? Not many. But point I'm saying is that whatever service is given to us, if we take it in the mood that this is what Krishna wants me to do, Because we are not selecting this service. Service is coming from someone else. So whoever is our authority, who is guiding us and engaging us in the service, Krishna is also in his heart. And therefore Krishna may be speaking through him. We don't know. So we have to take it in that spirit. And Krishna will then guide us. So this one point which just came to my mind, very, very, very important point, how Krishna comes in different ways. But Srila Prabhupada, before he came to America, he was in Delhi distributing his one page Back to Godhead magazine, you know, and leaflets rather, magazine. So he was there, there was one army officer sitting at a tea stall, you know, with his smoking pipe and his tea there, and he was reading newspaper. So Prabhupada went and asked him, "Sir, you seem very educated. Would you like to take this information about Krishna?" And this person said to Prabhupada, because he's a cultured person, "Swamiji, sit down." So Prabhupada sat down, and then he said to Prabhupada, "Swamiji, why are you wasting your time printing these little pages? Because in this country, this paper doesn't have any value. Even now you see, you go to the shops and buy something, you buy samosa, they will wrap it in a newspaper. So your paper will be just used like that. You print books, Swamiji. Books are very important. People value books." Now Prabhupada was thinking, "Wow, here is this person reminding the instruction of my guru. My guru is speaking to me through him." Now this person had no connection with Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. But Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is in his heart, and Krishna is telling him to remind me of my instruction to me from my Guru Maharaj. Print books. So Prabhupada took that with great respect from this army officer. He said, "Thank you very much for reminding me." And Prabhupada then embarked to go and get resources and print that first set of Bhagavatams. But the point is, Prabhupada looked at it from a different point of view, saying, "Here is my Guru Maharaj. His instruction coming to me from this person who has no connection. He's smoking pipe. Obviously, he's intoxicated with the nicotine, drinking tea, caffeine, reading mundane newspaper. Nothing spiritual about it." Prabhupada could have very well said, "Sir, what audacity you have to tell me what to do. See your condition. You're completely under the illusion of Maya, smoking pipe, drinking tea, reading mundane newspaper." Prabhupada didn't see that. Prabhupada saw different. So that's why I say that when we are associating with devotees, don't judge devotees. Respect. What is my Sisaskam prayer saying? Amani na, mani dena. So we repeat this all day long. Trinara bisunichena. Yes, this is what we supposed to be doing. When it comes to amani na, mani dena, it comes mani dena, mani, not to give, to take. Don't respect. Someone comes to you and says, "Prabhu, Hare Krishna." You say, "Wow, I'm honored." But even if he doesn't respect, it doesn't matter. You respect him. That is the point. So when we take these instructions and engage, then slowly and gradually we will come to the lotus feet of Krishna, and then Krishna will reciprocate with us and guide us in our spiritual journey. So it's coming close to 9 o'clock. I will stop here. If anybody has any comments or any questions, feel free. Well, I am only going by what is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I wasn't there 5,000 years ago. If I was, I would be very happy, because Krishna would be here in Govardhan, and I would be with Krishna, and then I wouldn't be sitting here.
Because when one more time sleep per day, it's not
complacent. You see, this is nothing material. It's spiritual. So, although the Govardhan was cursed to go down by a mustard seed, if he decides, he can go by 10 feet. It's free will. You cannot make Govardhan go down. But Govardhan is submitting to the curse given to him. So, okay, I will honor you also, because you are my devotee also. So, point is that we cannot speculate this thing. This is inconceivable. But what I'm going by is the descriptions given in the scriptures. And we have to accept that. Because if you start doubting the scriptures, then you are finished, because we don't have anything but the scriptures. And the scriptures which are given to us, by Srila Prabhupada. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, descriptions are given by Prabhupada, you know, and Krishnadas Kaviraj is written, whatever is written in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But then Prabhupada elaborates those by his transcendental Bhaktivedanta purports. So Prabhupada is giving an insight. So if you doubt that, then your spiritual life will be finished. You have to accept perfectly.
So we hear things which don't seem logical, reasonable in our own limited intelligence. How we should accept it? Just accept it that it was beyond our comprehension?
Well, you see, there are many times certain things which are beyond logic. For example, there's a description that there's a chariot of horses, which on that chariot Surya Narayan is sitting, and he's revolving the sun around. So you may kind of get all these kind of, gadgets, electronics and whatever, and try to see the chariot, which you won't see because it is not in our realm. But the point is that whatever we hear, which is inconceivable to our mundane logic, then we have to accept that this is something beyond me. But Krishna says, tesam satatam yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. You worship me with pritipurva, with pure love, unconditional love. Then he says, Dadami Buddhi Yogam. I give you the intelligence. And when he gives you intelligence, then he will also reveal these things. And these things are revealed to you. It is not something which we can read in the pages of the scriptures and say, well, I want to make an experiment and figure out how this logic. Logic is mundane and material. Spiritual world, logic doesn't work. Because we are trained in this material world to think on a logical level, on an intellectual level. You know, and unless until you figure out on an intellectual level, on a logical level, then you say, well, I don't accept. But as Prabhupada says, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is transcendental sound vibration, is spiritual. Now, we have to accept that in its face value. Because then you say, well, I am now going to go to the scientists and say, this is a transcendental sound vibration. Hare Krishna. It is spiritual. I want to see how we can measure this is spiritual. Can you measure it? But Prabhupada says this transcendental chanting of the holy name is spiritual. It's spiritual sound vibration. So we have to accept that. And at some point, when your heart is pure, free from contamination, the Lord sitting in your heart will reveal to you this transcendental understanding. And when the Lord reveals this thing to you, then you're on your way back to Godhead. Otherwise, you're coming back here. And again, and again, and again. But I wish and pray that nobody comes back again. Make this your last life, you know, and accept what scripture says as a fact, even if you don't understand. You know, just like, you know, sometimes the mother tells the child, do this way. And the child doesn't understand. But because the mother has told the child to do a particular activity and follows the instructions of the mother, the child will execute that activity perfectly. But the child doesn't understand. So same with us. We are like a little child and Krishna is our Supreme Father. He is giving us some information we may not understand, but he will reveal to you when you are ready. Otherwise you approach with intellectuality to Krishna. Devotional service cannot be approached on an intellectual level. It is all from the heart, not from the brain. Brain is intellectual. Heart is where the love is. So if you approach with love, Krishna will reveal to us. So sometimes things may seem very, unbelievable. But it happens. You know, it's just like someone recently posted on Facebook. It's amazing that they have some kind of huge telescope and whatever. You know, and they are going further out into the universe and taking a picture of the universe. And that picture which is shown on the Facebook from this electronic photo is exactly as the description which Prabhupada has given us. The Lord is lying in the sky and it looks exactly like that. So Lord is up there, you know, just because you and I can't see doesn't mean he's not there. The scientists are saying that And then one last example, there is a mention in the scriptures where Prabhupada said that there's different oceans. Like this world has an ocean of salt, there is an ocean of alcohol. And the scientists have kind of measured this light which source comes and reflects and figure out that this reflection is from an ocean of alcohol. So, there's a planet out there with alcohol. Scripture is already saying that. You know, and then the nine planets. We know these nine planets in the last 100 years. But in scriptures, Navagraha Puja is going on from centuries. They didn't have any telescopes and all these modern scientists to tell us that these are planets floating around. But it is already there. So we have to accept and let Krishna decide, you know. Don't get bewildered by Krishna's energy. Krishna is mystic power. He can bewilder us. Okay? Can stop now? Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Giriraj Govardhan.